Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Tato jishat siddhacharana vidyadharanam sadhanti tavan matra eva. Translation. Below Rahu, by 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles, are the planets known as Siddhaloka, Charanaloka, and Vidyadharaloka. Purport. It is said that the residents of Siddhaloka, being naturally empowered with the powers of yogis, can go from one planet to another by their natural mystic powers, without using airplanes or similar machines. Text 5. Beneath Vidyadhara Loka, Charana Loka, and Siddha Loka, in the sky called Antariksha, are the planets of enjoyment for the Yakshas. Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pisachas, ghosts, and so on. Antariksha extends as far as the wind blows and the clouds float in the sky. Above this, there is no more air. 6. Below the abodes of yakshas and rakshasas, by a distance of 100 yojas, 800 miles, is the earthly, is the planet Earth. Its upper limits extend as high as swans, hawks, eagles, and similar large birds can fly. Text 8. In these seven planetary systems, which are known as the subterranean heavenly, seven. My dear king, beneath this earth are seven other planets known as Atal, Vital, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. I have already explained the situation of the heavenly, of the planetary systems of Earth. The width and length of the seven lower planetary systems, are calculated to be exactly the same as those of Earth. Text 8. In these seven planetary systems, which are known as the subterranean heavens, Bilasvara. They are very beautiful houses, gardens, and places of sense enjoyment, which are even more opulent than those in the higher planets, because the demons have a very high standard of sensual pleasure, wealth, and influence. Most of the residents of these planets, who are known as Daityas, Danavas, and Nagas, live as householders. Their wives, children, friends, and society are all fully engaged in illusory material happiness. The sense enjoyment of the demigods is sometimes disturbed, but the residents of these planets enjoy life without disturbances. Thus they are understood to be very attached to illusory happiness. Purport. According to the statements of Prahlad Maharaj, material enjoyment is maya shuka, illusory enjoyment. A Vaishnava is full of anxieties for the deliverance of all living entities from such false enjoyment. Prahlad Maharaj says, Maya Shukai Bharam Udvahato Vimudhan. These fools, Vimudhas, are engaged in material happiness, which are surely temporary. Whether in the heavenly planets, the lower planets, or the earthly planets, people are engrossed in temporary material happiness, forgetting that in due course of time they have to change their bodies according to the material laws and suffer the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. Not caring what will happen in the next birth, gross materialists are simply busy enjoying during the present short lifespan. A Vaishnava is always anxious to give all such bewildered materialists the real happiness of spiritual bliss. By studying these different planetary systems and the consciousness of those who are living in these places, we start to get an idea of the varieties of consciousness that are there in the living entities. Because by these various consciousness, then we bring ourselves up or down or stay here in the earthly planets. So these descriptions are given, not so, one is that it is the purpose, the Purana must give all the histories. That includes the geography, and the natural science, because it's all part of the Lord's, the unfolding of the different personalities within the universe. The histories of the personalities include their places and what different activities they do, what's going on. So that's there, but also we see that we get the different kinds of consciousnesses there. And this is very practical in our devotional life. Many times you think, oh, it's just some, you know, the cosmology of the universe, so that's one thing. You know, and devotional life's another. It's not quite really thought about why all this would be described in Bhagavatam. But here we get a very nice clue as to what's going on. A few things that come to mind is that here, Prahlad Maharaj, he is living on these lower heavenly planets, these lower planets. And he is seeing everyone just engaged in gross sense gratification. And he is thinking how to deliver them. Because the living entity is wanting to be happy, and the devotee wanting to see others also happy, knows that material happiness will not make them happy. But spiritual happiness, that actually makes them happy. So he's always thinking how to bring them up from this gross happiness to actual transcendental happiness. This will actually give them some pleasure, some real pleasure. Though, of course, the demons don't understand this. This is one of the qualities of the demons, that only if they're enjoying, only if they have wealth, power, influence, and, all their family life is going very nicely, then they think this is good. You know, things are being nicely arranged. They can relate to the situation. Otherwise, they can't. So the point is being made here that the demigods, sometimes their material happiness is disturbed. And this distinguishes them between being devas and the demons, is this point. The demons don't tolerate even a moment of their material happiness being disturbed. To them, this is the all in all, and it must go on. So they think this is reality. But the demigods, they don't think like this. They forget, due to so much enjoyment, they forget about the spiritual progress and become absorbed in the facilities that are given to the devotees. But when there's a difficulty, they immediately surrender to the Lord. Immediately surrender. The demons, they make their plans. So the demoniac mentality means if we run into problem, then I start thinking, I'll do this, I'll do that, then I'll do this, and we'll arrange that, and so many things. Well, the demigod mentality means we surrender to Krishna. It becomes difficult, then we surrender to Krishna. What is his plan? How does he want us to endeavor? And we understand the ability is his, the result is his. The demoniac mentality is, no, I will endeavor, the result will be mine. So we see this here, is that the demons therefore don't want any disturbance, because they're going to have to take care of themselves anyway, in their own idea. In their own mind, they're going to make their own arrangements. They don't depend upon God. So for them, it's much easier that nothing happens. But for the devotees, then it's an opportunity to think of the Lord. This gives rise to that. You see in the Vedic literatures, you know, the itihasas, when it's talking about the Lord and his devotees, generally you'll see, most of the time what's described are the difficulties. When things are just going normal and everything's just peaceful, you know, you just hear after the whole Ramayana of so much difficulty, then a few verses said, and then for the next 30,000 years, then Lord Ramachandra reigned very peacefully and everyone was happy. And that's all it says, right? The Pandavas, chapters and chapters of all the anxieties they went through, then you have the whole war, and then the anxieties after the war, and then you have them leaving for the forest. Do you hear much in between? No. Once you're situated on the throne, a few verses, and that's it. Then immediately, then the next chapter is Krishna leaves. And then the anxiety again. So, because when everything's going peaceful and everything's just being taken care of, where's the reciprocation between us and the Lord? Because when everything's going nicely, the nature of the demigod is to forget the Lord, because everything's going very wonderfully. You know, everything's coming nicely and all that. But if there's some pressure, then we tend to remember the Lord. And the Lord wants to reciprocate with us. So if we don't remember Him, how He's going to reciprocate? Therefore, we find so many difficulties come to the devotees just so they can surrender to the Lord. And this way, then the Lord can reciprocate. And we see the many wonderful, wonderful things. Like, what do we remember most about Draupadi? Right? Everything's going peacefully for her and all that, going very nicely. She's the queen sitting there giving benediction, managing her palace nicely. All the maid servants are doing everything wonderfully. No, we remember her Dushasan trying to pull off her sari. And then how she surrendered to the Lord. What's glorious that she was a tough Kshatriya woman and held on to her sari. And she bought good quality sari so they didn't rip. As Dushan's pulling one way, she's pulling the other. No, is that she just fully surrendered to the Lord and left it up to Krishna. And then Krishna did an amazing, wonderful thing. He just gave unlimited saris. Like this. There's a saying amongst the Indians that at that time, all the different designs and different colors that there are in saris that she got to wear at that time. Because as he's pulling, then each one, each time it would change, the different saris. So she got the opportunity to wear all the different kinds like that. So because of her surrender, then all this was provided. I think I heard that in Delhi. We were in one sari shop buying some silk and jari shawls to make things for the deities. And we met commenting on so many colors and designs and all this. And then the guy that ran the shop, he started narrating this common understanding. Whatever you see here and all that, that Draupadi was, she wore all this. So we remember that. Arjuna, we don't remember him for just, you know, sitting around and running a nice kingdom and all that. The fighting with the demons, the battle of Kurukshetra, his 12 years in exile, the Pandavas also there, 14 years in exile. That's what you remember. Because those times, then the reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord is very intense. And the dependence of the devotee on the Lord, how he's going to arrange this, is very intense. But it doesn't mean we just sit back. We make our endeavor, is how the Lord tells us, gives us guidance, or others advise us. Like this, we make the endeavor, but the result, we leave to Krishna. Then we come up with some very wonderful, wonderful things. So adversity for the devotees is not a big problem. And the more they're advanced, like you see the demigods, they have some adversity, and they try to, as quickly as possible, through the arrangement of the Lord, patch it up, so they can go back to their enjoyment. We see like the Pandavas, they're not so worried about that. Because they see in this adversity, then Krishna's always there, he's always with them, talking. He always met them. When they were back in the palace after the war and sitting very nicely, Krishna hardly came to see them. It's no problems, they're not calling on him, so he doesn't come. You know, he's busy with the devotees in Dwarka. But when there's anxieties, he's there. So the demons, the demoniac mentality is there should be no anxiety, no problems, all material facilities should be there. You know, the facilities for just, you know, physical facilities should be very wonderful. Our wealth should be great, our influence should be great. Like that, that's their determination. And we see that many of those who are very expert in this material world that we see here on this planet, they can establish for themselves great, you know, empires or be part of very big facilities along this line. Like that, Krishna, you know, the Naradhamas and the other Asuras, and they make great arrangements for themselves, right? And they're very proud of it. But you see, they're so expert in the material nature, then one would expect that, you know, they would also be expert devotees. Because sometimes we make the mistake that material abilities makes for good devotees. But we find that sometimes they're not at all interested, because they think they are the controller and they are the enjoyer. So this expertise in moving the material energy is not necessarily a quality of the devotees. So therefore, we see that the devotee works more on his devotion and trying to surrender and do things and, you know, use his intelligence and facilities in the best way possible. Prabhupada said, the materialists have their way of doing things and getting things done, we have ours. So through our attempts at devotion and trying to do things very nicely for the Lord, then we get a nice result. So we see that there's different levels. The demoniac is very much absorbed in these things. The devatas they have facility and they're quite expert, though they have difficulties. And they turn to the Lord. Then we see the devotees. We have to see that we are not where we see. Are we impressed by the karmis' abilities and think that this is something very wonderful, that they themselves are doing wonderful? Or do we think that Krishna's ability is giving them, they can do so many nice things, but it's Krishna's intelligence. Now we have to be careful that we do not become attracted by the materialist ability. And then, because otherwise we can become sidetracked. So we see someone like Prahlad Maharaj, or it's not that we just say they're all nonsense rascals, and even though they're very expert at doing many things, we can't hear from them because they're nonsense rascals. Like this. So we see the devotee is above both of these. Neither he is enamored by what the karmis can do, nor neither are they repulsed. It's just that they understand that if there's anything that they are able to do, it's by Krishna's grace. And whatever nonsense is going on, this is because of the demoniac mentality. But they are individual living entities. I mean, if they take up the devotional process, they'll be happy. So the devotee is able to transcend both these mentalities and come to the platform of wanting the benefit for both. Because both the demigods and the demons are an illusion. Though the demigods are considered superior because they surrender to the Lord. But both are totally absorbed in sense gratification. So the devotee, as a devotee, we have to try to come above this. This is very important. Then this preaching mood of Prahlad Maharaj will manifest. There's some questions or comments or anything? Yes. How does the sun get to the lower planets? I don't know about the other ones, but I know Nagaloka doesn't get there. That's why they have the jewels on their head. Because in the effulgence of the jewels, they can see where they're going. See, nothing's ever perfect. So they may have more facility, but I guess no lights. Like that. It's always a problem. Material world means a problem. But the main point is that they don't want any problems. They're very averse to problems. Because they cannot see the Lord's hand. They just think, oh, now I have to work a little harder to solve this problem. Rather than, this problem is created by the Lord. And now let us take part in this and see how the Lord manifests, what the Lord gets done through these difficulties. Because everything here, the point is that whatever is going on is only for reciprocation between the devotees and the Lord. Like that, in their service to Him. That's what's important. If the things in the material world were important, then why do we see even temporary manifestation of things amongst devotees? Because that's not what's important. Things change. What's important is the reciprocation. That is eternal. That may remain, like we see in the spiritual realm, that Mother Yashoda is playing with Krishna as a baby. Those pastimes are eternally manifest. Or even in the material world, in the Mahatattva. Then, as that pastime finishes on this planet, it manifests on the next. So even here, they're eternally manifest. The same time as then Krishna is a little bit older, then is also there, reciprocating with Mother Yashoda and the other residents of Vrindavan. Like this, it's going on eternally. But in the material world, the only thing of any use is the actual exchange between the devotees and the endeavor for the service. You understand? Like that. So that's what's important. It's not the thing. We make the endeavor for the thing. We get something done. And that endeavor is the medium through which we can express our determination, our faith in Guru, our affection, you know, for the Lord, His mission. Like that. That is what's being done. And that's the manifestation. So what is happening inside, that's what manifests outside. Like that. The two are directly connected. So because Prahlad Maharaj has this compassion, he actually sees that Krishna consciousness is the really real thing. And material life is not. Therefore, even though you have very nicely situated demons who have all facilities, no anxieties, no problems, he's still feeling bad. Because he wants to see them elevated. So he works in that way to elevate them. Right? He works. He preached. He did all these different things. He begged for the deliverance of his father, preached to his schoolmates, you know, ran his kingdom in a Krishna conscious way. So like that, that's his mood. So we see what is the mood inside, that's what manifests outside. So they're directly connected. They're not separate. You cannot separate what's inside and what's outside. Like that. Prabhupada makes this point very strong. Because sometimes you see it's brought up that there's a difference. But they're directly connected. There's no question. Because the mind is what's happening inside, and the mind controls the senses. So the senses don't move unless the mind is thinking. So there's no question that the external can be separated from the internal. Even it is said that someone may be very advanced, but externally he follows all the rules and regulations. But that's coming. His ability to follow to that degree, like Raghunath Das, his sadhana was like lines on a stone. You can't change lines on a stone. Because of his internal mood. So it's a misnomer that we think that the two can be separate. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes of preaching for the external reason, and then the internal reason to taste what Srimati Radharani tastes in affection for him. Because he's tasting that, he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani, therefore the preaching is there. Prahlad Maharaj is a devotee. He is worried about the residents of the material world. Lord Krishna is taking the mood of his best devotee, Radharani. So why that won't be manifest to the greatest degree, Mahabharanya, why that won't be? So because of that mood, him taking the mood of Radharani, therefore externally it manifests as the Sankirtan mission. He came to taste what is happening inside. Right? But that manifests as something outside. So they're directly connected. So those who are unscrupulous try to separate the two and say that the external, the Sankirtan mission and all that, is not important. That's external. But so is they're moving their mouth. They're moving their mouth, they're talking, they're waving their hands, or they're vibrating the ether and the air, which is material, is vibrating by their material tongue, which is vibrating, is going into the material ear, which is vibrating. Somehow or another, that's all transcendental. even though it's totally dealing with the externals. Because what is being said is about transcendence. So therefore the external gets made. So right there, that proves that their point is, their viewpoint is wrong. Because even being able to sit around and discuss about elevated subject matter means you're going to be thinking that inside and manifesting it outside as hearing Shravanam Kirtanam. So if Shravanam Kirtanam can become spiritual, even though it's dealing with the material elements, why the preaching mission? So the one is, I'm interested in the transcendental nature, but I'm also only interested in myself. And the other is, I'm interested in the transcendental nature, but my know the anxiety of the Lord. He is interested in everybody else. Therefore I preach. So this is the proper understanding. We have to be very careful about this, trying to split the inside and outside. So therefore, I bring the point that because of the mentality, the internal mood of the demons, therefore they manifest externally as very opulent. And they demand it and don't want any adjustment to it. So the only anxiety that comes is when it's time for death, Sudarshan Chakra comes flying in and goes to whatever particular house he's supposed to visit. So when Sudarshan comes, you know, roaring over the head of, over the top of the houses, everyone gets an anxiety for that moment. You know, whose turn is it next? And then he goes and he, you know, cuts off the head of that particular demon that's supposed to die at that point. Like that. So, but other than that, no anxiety. Because they don't want it. They won't tolerate it. They'll get upset with God because it happened. How does Krishna allow this to happen? That's the demoniac mentality. So in the Kali Yuga, the demon and the devotee are in the same body. It's said in the Satya Yuga, the demons are in different planets. Or in different planetary systems. Like you see Balirat Maharaj in the lower planets, Indra in the upper planets. Like that. Or Hiranyakashipu and the Daniel. Like this, different planetary systems. In the Treta Yuga, they're on different continents. You have Ram and the devotees in India, you have Ravana, you know, 800 miles to the south in Lanka. In the Dwapara Yuga, they're in different families. So you have the Yadus and the Kauravas. Like this, you know, or the Pandavas and the sons of Dhritarashtra. Same, you know, kind of group, but different families, different group. You see, all of Duryodhana and his brothers are all nonsense, and all of the Pandavas are devotees. But in the Kali Yuga, the demon and devotee are in the same body. Therefore, all these instructions about the demons are relative to us also. And we have to be careful to control the demoniac mentality. Something goes wrong. How did Krishna allow this to happen? I hear it all the time, devotees say. How does Krishna allow this to happen? But that's the demoniac mentality. Otherwise, how did Krishna allow Kurukshetra? How did he allow the Pandavas to get thrown out of the palace? How did he allow, you know, all these things? And then we think, yeah, who is this Krishna? What does he think he's doing? Because I think it should go in a different way. I don't want any disturbance, you know. I'm happy, you know, I got my stuff, and well, why there should be some disturbance? The disturbance allows us, gives us opportunity to surrender more to Krishna. To reciprocate. Means the pious, naturally, when there's a problem, surrender. And the impious automatically just flare up. That's just the nature. So in this age, we have both. So the idea is control and engage these natures and purify them in Krishna's service. Then it becomes wonderful. Everything becomes very nice. So I have to be very, very careful. So these are very practical. The demigods, they are devotees, but they also want facility. Right? But if sometimes difficulty comes, they surrender to the Lord. You understand it's the Lord's pastime. But they want the pastime to kind of move quickly. Right? Krishna is fighting with the demon, all this and that. and the demigods are watching behind the clouds, and they're all enthusiastic that now Krishna is going to kill the demon and remove all our anxieties. And then Krishna, in his playing, he lets the demon go. And then the demigods immediately freak out, alas, alas, because, you know, they think maybe something can happen. They're so absorbed that the demon must be killed. They're not thinking of Krishna so much. They want Krishna to do it, but they're more thinking of the demon, because the demon is the problem, is disturbing their you know, their life, their facilities, their positions, all this. So when the demon gets away, then immediately, then they, oh, alas, alas, you know? And then Krishna, hearing this and seeing their anxiety, then catches the demon again and kills him. You'll notice that many times in the Krishna book that happens. If Krishna is just having good fun, and no way the demon can defeat him, maybe he may like to play for longer. Therefore we see when he fights with Jambavan and that, he does so in a cave. No demigods can sit around and watch. So 28 days they can fight. Otherwise the demigods only give him a few minutes. You know? Like that. So, you know, like this. Sometimes this. So we see the mentalities that are here. So we can take it. Bhagavatam is very practical for us. Each and every verse has meaning. So here we've seen the demon's mentality, the Kanista devotional mentality, and the Madhyama mentality, the preacher. So all three, verse three, we're seeing in this one verse. Like that. So we have to learn how to develop the devotee mentality, and that will manifest as wanting to see the preaching mission expand. The demigod mentality is we take part in the Lord's mission, we do our duty, but we don't want any anxiety. If it does come, okay, we turn to the Lord, and as quickly as it goes away, nice. But we see, very pious, very, very elevated, but still a little self-centered. And then the demoniac mentality, no problem, should happen, should work exactly perfect. Why? Because I'm so special. It should always go nicely for me. And if it doesn't go, then there's something wrong. God has some, he's doing something weird here. You know, he doesn't understand why he is. So we have to be very, very careful of these mentalities, that we develop culture, or cultivate this devotional, higher devotional. That's why Prabhupada says the Madhyama, that starts advanced devotional service. When we talk about one should associate with advanced devotees, this is where it starts, the preachers. Like that. The preachers. Anything else? Yes. I'm not sure. It means I don't know historically if so many of the demons they take advantage. But point is, it's like Arjuna. Arjuna, we see in the Gita, then in a few purports, then it appears to be contradictory. Krishna's saying he's an illusion, and Prabhupada's mentioning the purport, he's an illusion. At the same time, he's saying only because he's an advanced devotee can he show this kind of compassion. He's willing to walk out of the battlefield, be insulted, give the whole kingdom and everything that they've been planning for, like, you know, scores of years to get back. It was rightfully theirs. And just give it to them and go to the forest. It's only because, he says, only because of his compassion. Because he sees these demoniac people, to them, this is all there is in life. Wealth, influence, you know, that's all there is, sense gratification. So if that's all they want, and all we have to do is not have this war and give it to them, and they'll be happy, why not give it? So that's because of the compassion as a devotee that they think like that. But at the same time, we see is that Krishna has a purpose. He has a mission. So that is, the devotee on his own may think like that, but then there's the Lord's desire. So the Lord's desire is that we engage in Krishna's service. You know, those who are opposing the preaching mission should be removed, you know, and purified in that way. And those who can take advantage, then they can reciprocate with the Lord. So the foolishness was is that he just looked at it from a compassionate platform, pranamoy. They want sense gratification. Let them have it. You know? It's like a purified pranamoy. They want, give it to them. You know? But that's not meant for, that's not meant for the, you know, the total preaching purpose. You may use that on children. You may use that on those who are too much in anxiety and difficulties. Try to arrange for them. And then when they're settled, then you try to bring them up. But Krishna wanted to show that, no, you do your duty for Krishna. He was thinking, I'll do my duty just for, you know, duty's sake and for the benefit of others. But Krishna is pointing out, you want to benefit them, but you're not giving them eternal benefit. So you'll only get that if you do your duty. Right? For Krishna. So that was the only weakness there. The weakness is what he wanted to do is Kshatriya Dharma or give it up and take up the Brahminical Dharma, but not for Krishna. For the sake of Duryodhana and all that. You know? But Krishna had a plan. So that's the thing. Is one endeavors. If one gets results, that's up to Krishna. But that mood will still be there. That mood of that compassion and all that. That still will be there. Whether one can do much or not, that's another thing. One sees one's own abilities, what Krishna is giving. One makes endeavor, and however much gets done, that's fine. You had Garadhar Das. He would just go door to door and ask him to chant Hare Krishna. Like that. And they say, Hare Krishna, fine. They said, no, I can't chant Hare Krishna today. I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. He'd also say, thank you, because they all would be chanted. Or he'd come up to the Muslims, chant Hare Krishna. He says, no, we're Muslims. We don't chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, fine, thank you. You know, like that was all he did. That was his preaching. Just get them to say once Hare Krishna, bas. And other devotees who do other, so even small service. We see whatever Krishna gives us the ability to do, then that's what we do. Someone may be very big, someone may be very small. But as far as reality, whether you have a drop of transcendence or, you know, an ocean of transcendence, that drop is also Krishna, so it's unlimited. So it's only for the pastimes it looks bigger or smaller, right? Krishna is, you know, this big, or Krishna is as big as the universal form, it's still Krishna. Still the same complete cosmic manifestation. So anything in relation to Krishna, it's not different from Krishna. So it's eternal. So only for pastimes, then Krishna arranges something looks bigger, something looks smaller. Like that, how he wants to get done, through whom, at what time. There, so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami points out, after telling all the devotees and who, you know, great things they've done and simple things they've done, he says that actually we don't make any distinction. They're all great and wonderful because they're doing something for Krishna. But we just point it out so it can be understood in the pastimes. Who's taking part in which way in the pastimes? Like that. Well, that's why then Krishna speaks all these things in the Gita. The whole point is do your duties for Krishna. Because this whole material creation is also a pastime of the Lord. It's by the dream of Mahavishnu. So it's a pastime of the Lord. So Krishna set it up that it'll work according to the social system that he established, according to the devotional principles that he established. So if you take Nectar of Devotion, the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and the Dharma Shastras, and blend them together how they match, dropping off whatever doesn't fit, means what doesn't in detail fit, but those things in principle that fit. Then you have Krishna's social arrangement, and within that you work. So you do within the realm of your thing, you do your activities. And in an emergency, you do anything. So he's given it what to do. So Arjuna didn't know what to do because he hadn't heard Gita. Right? Vivasvan had heard it, Ikshvaku had heard it, Manu had heard it, but it had been lost in the line of the kings. So Arjuna hadn't heard it. Otherwise, if you'd gone back some generation, he would have heard it. He would have known what to do. So he didn't see Dhruva Maharaj do that. His brother gets killed. His brother is, you know, not overly devotional. You never hear about any devotional qualities, you know. His mother, Uttam's mother was definitely not very devotional at all. But as you know, part of the royal family, and when his brother gets insulted in this way, immediately he goes to fight. And then they have to come to him and tell him, as a devotee, okay, enough's enough. You have established the Dharma, you have shown them that they can't break Krishna's rules like this. There will be punishment. The punishment comes from the kings like this. But now it's kind of like, you know, they're no match for you. So be compassionate upon them, and, you know, they've learned a lesson. So we see, because he knows these things. But Arjuna hadn't heard. So now, through Arjuna, this is revealed again. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vitu, through the rajarshis. So the enlightened kings knew this. Other kings didn't. Duryodhana didn't. He wasn't enlightened. But because Arjuna was a devotee, therefore he was instructed. Then he and his brothers, they're enlightened kings. So we do our activities, but for Krishna. Like that. That's the point. Then we know what to do. We take advantage of the others, take advice from them. You know, Krishna is always telling the Gita, associate with the devotees. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajanam priti purvakam. Huh? Yeah, pretty. So like this, they associate together. They talk, they eat together, they exchange gifts. This is what devotees do. Then if we understand that, then life goes very easily. And our solutions to our problem, we will look at in a way that doesn't disturb that. Right? Means, what other ways in these six ways do we have to exchange between devotees? Rupa Goswami doesn't say something else. He doesn't give a seventh or eighth option. Exchanging gifts, confidentiality, and prasad. So we have to be very careful if we see difficulties, social difficulties in the movement, that we don't try to remove these. Because that means we have no understanding of the devotional process. Or even of just exchange between two living entities. We don't even understand gross materialistic rasa. It means we're just uneducated. We may try to purify and see that it goes on in a way that it works. Right? But if we try to remove it without replacing it, this is the impersonalistic nature. We've grown up on it. For us, religion means either some Western non-Vedic or some mental speculative philosophy, you know, some, you know, existentialist or some, you know, atheistic mentality like this. We don't actually know what real religion is. So we becoming devotees, we kick out the material religion that we know, and we think that Krishna consciousness replaces that, means the philosophy replaces that, but it doesn't. Philosophy is on another level. It's Anandamaya. We replace all our material, you know, do good, be good, and all our speculative mental things with varnashram and sadhana. But we don't know that. So we end up with no religious system, and we don't know how to exchange between devotees. So the problem comes is we're not educated how to exchange between devotees. And therefore, all the problems come. All social problems come. Philosophical, that's another thing. But also, but many times we then create, means before, that somebody had a problem, they'd just bloop and go away, never hear about it. See him pumping gas somewhere or something. You know, he'd bump into him now and again, and show up at a Sunday feast every once in a blue moon. Nowadays, we create our own philosophy. We have difficulties in the social system. We create our own philosophy. So we have to be very, very careful that we understand that whatever is the system that Krishna has given, if it's not going right, because we're not following it right. Arjuna was having problems. His hairs are standing on end, his skin is burning, he can't do his duties, because he was trying to follow the social system without connecting to Krishna. And he's having so much anxiety, though he's perfectly following Varnashram. The end of the first chapter, that's what he starts quoting. He starts quoting Dharma Shastra. The women will be polluted, and then all the good works. Good works means taking care of the poor, the elderly, the cows, the children, the women. Right? Giving in charity. All the good works that they're doing, all the things that we're trying to establish, our social development wants to establish, is he's quoting right there. And Krishna's just saying, you're a fool. Because you're quoting these without connecting it to Krishna. You can't connect it to Krishna, you're a fool. And we're coming from a platform lower than that. We're trying to come in at Pranamoy. We'll just somehow or another get some money together and people will be real nice to each other and just smile whenever we see each other and everything will be perfect. No, forget Varnashram. We're coming in from a lower level than that. But we're not fools. And if you say, no, here, Krishna philosophy, oh, that's fluff. You know, let's have some substance, you know. A few carrots growing out of the ground, that's real advanced social development. So we have to be very, very careful that the exchange between devotees, if we see there's a problem, bring it into its proper element, but leave the mood intact. Immediately we go and destroy the mood. You know? That's the immediate thing we go for. You know, we go for the throat, you know, go for the exchange of rasa between people. First you remove that. Then we'll set up some, you know, facility, you know, that will keep it in check to make sure that this exchange of emotion doesn't poke its nose up too much. And whatever platform it is. Because everyone's doing this, you know. You know, brahmacharis don't appreciate the rasa that's there in the grihastha ashram and how that's connected to Krishna. The grihasthas don't appreciate the brahmacharis or sannyas, their exchanges with devotees. You know, nobody appreciates what the managers are up to. You know, they're just automatic write-offs. You know, and the managers thing and everybody else, like they can't get it together. And so the exchange is very minimal. And so we have to see what do these things do to create exchange? Like a child is dependent, that creates a kind of exchange, that creates the parental rasa. If the child is not dependent, there is no parental rasa. Then you have friendship, or they're senior to you and you're the child. Right? But because of their dependency, therefore that creates the rasa. They come to you. You know, the parent knows, the child comes to me, ask for things. And if they deserve it, they need it, I give it. Right? It's not that the parent goes to their 5-year-old and say, hey, can you go out and, you know, get a job? So you know how the rasa works. So unless we appreciate these things, rasa cannot work. And if there's no rasa, there's no satisfaction, either spiritual or material. One is emotionally frustrated, one is spiritually frustrated. So we have to be very careful that we don't, therefore, throw out the very means, which is common. I mean, you see it going on. You see someone who wants something so much that sometimes when they get frustrated in getting it, then they do a 180-degree turn. Very common. You also see this a lot in kids. They want something so much, they can't get it, bang, just immediately. No, I don't want it. Here it is. No, I don't want it. You know, what are you doing? Yelling about it for so many days that we arranged it for you. Right? So it's very natural for the living entity to actually, the things that are good for them, throw them out. So when we see difficulties in this exchange, of dealings between devotees, it's very easy, natural, that because of the conditioned conscience, we're going to throw it out. Right? Like Arjuna didn't see his fighting on the battlefield as devotional service. He thought the best he could do is just leave and go to the forest. So we have to see that, no, what is going on, just there's something wrong in it. He didn't want to fight because he was going to fight just for his kingdom. Fight for his brothers. No, he has to fight for Krishna. Then it becomes perfect. So there's something going, if there's something, a procedure, it's not that the structure is wrong. It's not that the rules and regulations are wrong. The positions, the respect, the, who's junior, who's senior, who's this, that. None of that's wrong. It's just we don't know how to apply it. So we have to educate ourselves. Otherwise, without the dati pratigrinati, bhugya makati bichati, bhunte bojayate, there cannot be loving dealings. You can have other than loving dealings, right? I mean, other than that, then, you know, you can bonk the other person over the head with a bamboo, and next time he sees you, he'll come along and hit you over the head. Like that. So that's a, you know, a rasa. But it's not loving dealings, loving exchange. So if we're looking for that sweetness of exchange between devotees, it comes through these six. So we have to keep that in mind when we want to, in our own life and in our relationships with others, or others' relationships with, you know, their, whoever their situation, that we're very careful that we don't disturb these things, but bring them to a proper standard. Like that. Then we see that this example of Arjuna and his compassion, it was just misdirected. It's not that after the war, all the family thing, the women weren't protected, and all the family things, this is what we'll do. Krishna says, Arjuna says, if we have this war, the men will be killed, the women won't be protected, we'll end up with Varnashankar, all the good welfare works that the families were doing, you know, has been doing for generations, will all be ruined. Krishna says, you're a fool. Okay, now here is our conclusion. Okay, therefore, when we're doing devotional service, we don't care for the women, we don't care for welfare activities, we don't deal nicely with each other, because Krishna said, you're a fool. No, he said, you're a fool because you're doing this without connecting with him, to him. Right? Isn't it? So therefore, we have to see, what's wrong is we're not making the connection. You know, I have this machine, very nice electric machine, it doesn't work. I push all the buttons, everything, and then I just drop it off the third floor veranda. All I have to do is plug it into the wall, and then it works. But I pushed all the buttons, I did everything. I followed all the things, you know, I looked in the manual, it said push this button, it said push that, and put the tape in, and it said nothing works. But they forgot the first one, it said plug it in. You know, if it's plugged in, everything's perfect. If it's not plugged in, nothing's perfect. So this is how everything works. So Arjuna, after winning the battlefield, went back, protected the women of the palace, continued the welfare activities of the family. And they went to the forest when Pratigrinat was born because they knew he would do the same. So this is replacing the mundane with the spiritual. Replacing mundane religiosity with spiritual religiosity by connecting it to the transcendental philosophy. Then it makes it alive. Otherwise it's dead. It's not connected to Krishna, doesn't have these exchanges, dead. Okay, so we should... Is that answer, did we get on?
You said that, yeah, you're right, but you might as well call it out and say the big problem.
Yeah.
And that would have been right.
Yes, if Krishna had said, yes, you're right. This, the proper thing is that you've been too attached to your palaces and all these different things, and now you've learned the lesson to actually become detached, that there's nothing in this material world and that. But he does that in other avatars, in other situations. He brings that out. You know? Like Bharat Maharaj, because of his attachment there, he got in trouble.
I'm saying, Krishna correctly, I could say this thing. Either way is right. Whatever he says is right.
Whatever he says is right.
If we don't, if Krishna's not here.
like Krishna's here in his Gita. He's told us what's right. Is do it for him. Just like Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir always tells the truth. It's the proper thing. The Dharma Shastras say, tell truth. Huh? Satyam vada dharmam chara. That one should always do dharma. One should always speak truth. He was Dharmaraj. He always spoke truth. So we see, he's doing it because it's Krishna's rule. Krishna has given this rule in the Dharma Shastras. This is how we live. He lives it perfectly. Because it's Krishna. So he's connected his truthfulness and his Dharma to Krishna. But then, on the battlefield, he's told to tell a lie by Krishna himself. So now, he's trying to look at it through Krishna and his rules and regulations, through the Veda Vyas, coming down through this like this. Krishna's directly telling him, you lie. Because now this is good. For it. It's connected. His telling a lie is directly connected to Krishna. He doesn't do it. He sticks to the Dharma Shastras. And then Krishna punishes him. So this is showing also that all your truth, all your dharma is useless if it's not connected to Krishna. All your wonderfulness and kindness and all is useless if it's not connected to Krishna. And Arjuna, the same thing. All your compassion, your shelter, your nice, your lovey-dovey, useless if you don't connect it to Krishna. No, it's not. Yes, so therefore, until Krishna personally comes to you and says, do like this, then we follow the Shastras, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It's right there in the Shastra.
No, Dharma is right, because it's coming from Krishna, it's not from Krishna.
Yes.
So, then again, Krishna says, no, you're a fool. He says to Arjuna, you're a fool.
Because he didn't connect it to him. He didn't connect it to Krishna. Then we're a fool also. Therefore association with devotees. That's why we have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We have to connect it to Krishna. That's the whole point.
Arjuna thought he was connected to Krishna.
No, he didn't. He didn't say anything about that.
No, if he's following Dharma, it's coming from Krishna, so it's not different from Krishna. He's following Krishna's rules.
Because he was seeing Dharma on its own. He was not seeing Dharma as subservient to the transcendental scriptures. Dharma as a lower scriptures, aparavidya, he was quoting that without connecting it, its purposes. In other words, he was taking the externals of it, but not taking the purpose of it. The purpose of the Dharma is that it's emulating and coming as close as possible to the transcendental culture and mentality. It's a step forward for the living entity. The devote, Prahlad Maharaj, is compassionate. Therefore, for the gross materialist, you get him grossly compassionate. Right? And then from there, it's easy to get him to transcendentally compassionate. Right? But that can take thousands or millions of lifetimes to progress through the Varnashram system just on Varnashram. But Krishna is recommending go through it a little quicker. You know, Prabhupada says one lifetime. Therefore, we have to connect everything. The culture stays. We see at the end of the Gita, Arjuna did exactly the same things that he was professing in the beginning of, you know, all this Dharma and everything. But now he's been enlightened that he wasn't thinking of Krishna when he was making his decision. He put Varnashram or social development above devotional service. And that's said, we've done all this sadhana, now we need some, you know, substance. And Krishna says, what is not connected to me is illusion. Anything connected to me is substance. So it's just a lack of education. So it's very clearly given there. Like that, Krishna spoke to him, now we hear it in Parampara. So we've gotten that. Krishna is there. He's there, directly in the Gita, directly in the Bhagavatam. The acharyas are there. And then we have the sadhus. Like that. So we have to see this connection. And always understand that the lower scriptures are supportive of the transcendental, of the Bhagavatam. In other words, you have the Bhagavatam, then you have all of the branches of Vedic knowledge.
And accepting the Vedic knowledge is superior than the material knowledge. It means the non-Vedic knowledge. We may engage the non-Vedic knowledge in the through the Vedic way of applying. Right? Because everything works according to the laws of nature. The laws of nature are created by Krishna. So if the karmis get something, they just got it without going by speculative method. Right? By speculative method, they've adjusted with the laws of nature and have gotten a result. But it doesn't carry any of the proper cultural flavor. So it's harder to engage in Krishna's service. Well, if you follow the Vedic culture, these things become much easier to engage. So, you get anywhere now, or still not convinced?
See, since as Krishna says, he'd say in different outcomes, he'd say in the same circumstance, he'd be like this, he'd be like that, different ways. So in our case, we'd say, well, Krishna says do like this, he'd say no, well, in this instance, he'd say do like that. So the opposite. One he says follow Dharma, the other one he says reject Dharma.
So you have to see the examples to the great devotees how it's applied. Right? Because it will have a balance in here. The Bhagavatam has a thrust, it has a theme. And wherever you enter it, you'll get the same flavor. Right? The same theme. The Gita also. Where the Gita ends, the Bhagavatam starts. Right? But Gita ends with Sarvadharmam Parityaja. Bhagavatam starts with Dharmo Kaitava Nirmatsaranam Satam. It's just one and the other. It means after that verse is the Phala Shruti of Gita. You always have an invocation and the main work and then the Phala Shruti or the benefits. So after that verse is the Phala Shruti. Krishna says, one who teaches this to others, they are the most dear. That's the benefit of this. Then Sanjaya says, wherever anyone is discussing this, then all victory and glory and everything will be there. Then you have the invocation of Bhagavatam. Then the first verse, what we call the second verse, it's actually the first verse of the work. The first verse is the invocation. That one takes exactly the, you know, just like what you finish in your, you know, primary and secondary education. Where that ends, that's exactly where the you know, your graduate education starts. So it's directly connected. So now then it gives how all these persons did it. Prahlad Maharaj, how he acted as a king, even in a demoniac community, and did his devotional duties. You know, Dhruva Maharaj, how he did that, how the various Brahmins and all that, different planetary systems, different situations, how they did. You know, you see with Kasyapa, with Diti, how he followed what Krishna says in the Gita is a systems of procreation, his Kandarpa. Right? And with Aditi, then following the Dharmic principles, then he is procreation. We see both these with one person. You see different things. How to get married, what is the proper approach to marriage by Kardama? Be a first-class Pakka Brahmachari, dependent upon the Lord. How to do that. Then how to live one's married life. And how at the end, even though it was so perfect, how to leave. So it's all there, what we're supposed to do. And Prabhupada, that's why the purports are there. And in the purports, you see what Prabhupada is commenting on. So that is the importance of the purports. Otherwise, we will get bewildered. People have been bewildered for a long time with the Gita, with the Bhaktivedanta as it is purports. Now the bewilderment does not need to be there. All right. So end here. Okay. Granthurai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Chaitanya Tagore prema ki.